Hi, this is Jodi Krangle, voice actor and host of the Audio Branding Podcast, and you're listening to The Path to Podcast Success. Enjoy.
Welcome to another amazing episode of The Path to Podcast Success with your host, audience building and fear-crushing podcast expert, Evan Bradley Johnson. Every single week, Evan has powerful conversations with successful entrepreneurs and business owners, revealing the podcast strategies they use to grow their subscribers and sales, and how you can use your podcast to finally get to that next level. Now, turn on your mic and let's start down the path to podcast success.
Hey, Jodi, thank you so much for being willing to come on my show today. I'm excited to have this conversation with you.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So I like to start off in the same place with all my guests, and that is by asking, what was your biggest fear of podcasting when you were first starting out, and did that fear end up coming true?
Well, my biggest fear was probably interviewing other people. So when I started my podcast, I really wanted to talk to professionals who were interested in doing audio branding, which is the subject matter of my podcast. So how sound influences us. And I was aware that the people that I would be talking to would be very professional and would know what they were talking about in a general sense. And I didn't want to seem like an amateur.
Right.
Also, I really haven't done much in the way of interviewing before starting my own podcast. So learning how to do that well and follow a conversation and be an active listener and ask questions after someone maybe went into something that I could ask them to expound on and expand on, that was hard to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's almost going against the grain in a lot of ways, because I think a lot of people are just used to talking and having people listen to them as opposed to the other way around.
Right.
But yeah, it's something you can learn. Yeah. And I've gotten better over time, and I've actually taken courses on it. Believe it or not, there are courses out there that will help you be a better interviewer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it sounds like those fears didn't really come true then. Like, you had those fears, you felt them, they're valid. But then your podcast turned out great.
Well, they did happen in the beginning. I'm sure of my early interviews were pretty crappy.
Well, everyone's are.
Yeah.
People, I don't like it when people work so hard to expect episode one to be this perfect thing, because it's not going to be a perfect thing. You have to be able to let go of that and put out. The only way episode one is going to be good in any way is if you are a professional speaker and interviewer and have done podcasting before.
Yeah, and I am totally not.
Neither am I.
You just do what you do and you get better at it as you go. Yeah. And I have always thought, and this is not a quote of mine, I'm actually quoting someone else, but ready, fire, aim. Like, you got to just do some things to learn. And once you learn, you get better, and then the show improves and all of that kind of stuff. But if you never do anything because you think you have to be perfect to start off with, then you never do anything.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I've definitely encountered plenty of people who are very nervous about the first episode. And they try so hard to make it perfect, and it's really just not worth it. Like, nothing really comes from it, because no matter how hard you try, it's not going to be very good. Like, it'll be good, sure, it's not going to be horrible, but like, there's only so much you can do after you record it, you know?
Oh, yeah,
you know, there's only so many little tweaks you can do, like.
Yeah. And a lot of people want to follow your journey. They don't want you to be perfect from the start, because they want to know who you are. And then they'll follow as you go along and get better. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like the more you're worried about your following, being, you know, not enjoying that kind of journey, the more they will enjoy the journey, if that makes sense. Like, I have someone who I'm working with who speaks to corporations and things like that. They're just launching their podcast this week, and they've been so nervous about appearing perfect because of that whole world, right? You want to be professional. Sure. But it's one of those things where I feel like those people will appreciate this journey even more than others.
Yeah.
Because it shows that, you know, the host is a human being, not just like a corporate machine.
That is true. Yes. So, and actually, right now, especially, I think people want to see the real you. They don't want the BS anymore.
Exactly.
We're paring down everything right now to its essential pieces.
Yeah, no, very true. And thank you for sharing that. Those are definitely, it's so interesting asking about fears of podcasting because they're all so similar, but they all come from such different perspectives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so much to learn.
Yeah. So tell us, give us a little bit of background on you. So first, what do you do? And
well,
how does your podcast fit into it? We'll make sure to bring it back around
to
that.
That's a good question. Yeah. Well, I have been a singer all my life, and that's kind of how I ended up finding voiceovers as a way of expressing myself and working in a genre and an industry that I really adore. I've always liked working with my voice. So being able to work with it and get paid for it is super awesome. I've been doing that since 2007, and the world of audio has been really, really good to me, and I love it. And I love how deeply it touches people. So part of the reason that I started my podcast was because I wanted to explore scientifically, musically, psychologically, with advertising and marketing, how sound influences us. So our buying decisions, how it affects our moods, what it inspires us to do, how it takes us to a next level, how deeply it ingrains itself in us and makes us feel. So. Part of the reason that I started my podcast was because I wanted to explore that and talk with people who were experts in those fields. And the podcast is called Audio Branding, and the subtitle is The Hidden Gem of Marketing, because I think a lot of people pay very close attention to their logos and their colors and not enough attention to how their sound follows through with their branding image.
Okay, and so you kind of, so your journey kind of took you through voiceovers and into marketing. So how, so you work with marketing in that way. How exactly do you work with it? Do you do like one-on-one consulting and like coaching or something to help businesses with their audio brands? Or like what exactly do you do then?
I am just a fellow traveler. So I'm just interested in finding out more information and helping spread that information. I talk with a lot of creative directors at ad agencies, video producers, content creators, people who use sound in their daily lives. I just interviewed a fellow who has an actual audio branding company in New York City. That was really cool. I've interviewed Steve Keller, who is the, what do they call him exactly? He's the branding, like the strategist for, the sound strategist, I guess, for Pandora. And he's been doing that around 2 years now, I think. Really good at what he does. And he's he has a whole thing on psychology. He's a musician. He's been in advertising and marketing for a long time. And he knows a lot of really interesting things that he's putting into good practice with Pandora. And it's been just a fascinating journey, but most of what I do is still voiceover. I love the voiceover industry, but I'm not into animation, video games, audiobooks, you know, long e-learning projects. What I typically do is the advertising marketing end. So I do commercials and I do corporate narrations and I do web videos and I've done intros and outros to podcasts and that kind of thing. Typically things that are 5 minutes of finished audio or less. And those types of things tend to have more to do with the advertising marketing end of things. So I wanted to get more in depth into how that works.
That's really cool. And so then that's kind of where the podcast came in and mm-hmm. used it as a platform to learn.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And to help others learn as well, because,
right.
you know, just from a selfish point of view, you know, if people understand how important audio is, they might be more inclined to hire a good voice actor. But, you know, right. but beyond that, I think right. audio is just important in general, and people should be aware of how much more of a dimension that adds to your company and your promotions to have that audio component as a part of it, as well as the visual component.
Right. So kind of like a classic example of good podcasting where like you're doing the podcast because you're learning and you're helping others learn, and something mm-hmm. you're interested in. And then a convenient byproduct that you're not focusing on, but is still there nonetheless, is, okay, well, if people see you as the expert in this stuff that you're talking about, then they'd be more inclined to actually hire you and pay you to do
it. Yeah. Why not? I'm putting my voice out there every time I put a podcast on. So yeah. why not?
So have you gotten business from the podcast in that way?
You know, it's hard to say directly at this point. The podcast right. is fairly new. I really only started it in November of last year. So it's a long tail thing. You know, I'm not expecting it to get me a job tomorrow. What I am hoping that it does is get people thinking about this in general a lot more. And whether or not mm-hmm. they hire me, they might be more inclined to pay more attention to their audio brand and hire a professional, in which case right. all of us will benefit.
Right. So it's less so you don't like work one-on-one with clients independently. It's more like commercial yeah, work and things like that. Oh, you do?
I do. Not for audio branding. I want to qualify okay. that. I'm not okay. an audio branding expert. I call myself a fellow traveler. So I'm learning right, as I right. go. And I certainly know some people that I could point them in the direction of. For instance, the guy who has the audio branding company who I just interviewed, a guy named Eric C. And his company is doing fantastic things. They just finished doing a soundscape for Pantone for their latest color of the year, which was classic blue, I think. And they okay. actually made a soundscape and almost like a museum art piece that people could walk through with audio. I mean, how cool is that, right?
That's awesome.
It's really awesome. So, you know, you take a color and you turn it into a sound, like, or a soundscape. Right. And you know, the combination of how our senses all work together and enhance each other. Like, for instance, listening to certain music can make you experience food in a more satisfying way, depending on what it is. Listening to French music in a liquor store can induce you to buy more French wine. Like, it's just, you know, some weirdness of how our minds work and how our senses work and how they all work in conjunction together and how powerful that is. Oh, and yeah. for advertising marketing, that's like, that's that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That should be regulated. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's incredible. I mean, it's really a whole world, you know, audio in that way. I mean, I work with podcasts, so I know what you're talking about, but mm-hmm. you've really taken it to another level, a much like broader level that can have a much bigger impact.
Well, I find it really fascinating to delve a bit deeper into what makes us tick as human beings.
Right.
That to me is more basic than just making another marketing podcast.
Right, you know, right.
As much as it is kind of that too, I really find it interesting to try and understand how we work.
Right.
Just the you know, the bottom line of how we all experience things, and we all experience right. it differently. So, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of asked this already, but like we know, you know, why you have your podcast and how it fits into your business, but like what, you said it was a fairly recent, you launched it in mm-hmm. November of this year. I launched
November
mine
in last year, so 2019. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, November of this year hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
But like, and I launched mine in August. Mm-hmm. So not just pretty much right around the same time. So what was the turning point? Like, you're working, you're chugging along, you're doing your work. What then made you think, oh, I think I want to start a podcast about this? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a good question. I was blogging before that happened and wanting to get a little more out there as far as understanding what it is I do and how I can help people. Mm. So when I decided that I wanted to take that to the next level, I started speaking my blogs because I'm a voice actor and I like to have a script.
Right.
So I used my blogs as a script and I made it into audio, which I was then just posting at the top of my blogs so that people could listen if they didn't want to read. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it was like, well, if I'm already doing this in audio format, why don't I just make a podcast?
Right.
So it just kind of went from there. I guess you would call it a natural transition, but you know, I'm a voice actor. That's what I do. I use my voice all the time. So for me, it was kind of a natural transition.
Right. Cool. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. It's kind of like you were blogging, but you took your blog to that next level, mm-hmm. especially for you because it aligns so much more with what you do, because it's the voice.
yeah, it really, and I felt it was worth doing already. I was kind of already doing that with my blog. I just sort of formalized it.
Right. Yeah, I get it. So to shift gears a little bit, tell mm-hmm. us about your, how you handle the back end stuff. So do you do all the production yourself or do you outsource?
It depends on what I'm doing. If I'm just speaking one of my own blogs, which is typically between 4 and 8 minutes long, so mm-hmm. not very long, then I'll edit it myself. And I will say that one of the early mistakes I was making was I was removing all the breaths. Now, I wasn't closing the gaps. The gaps were still there. So it wasn't like, you know, a robot. But at right. the same time, it was not as natural sounding as it is now. Because as a voice actor, that's what I do for my clients. I edit out the breaths because they never leave them in.
Right.
When they do a narration, it's usually with a whole bunch of music in the background, sound effects, whatever they want to do. With a commercial, they usually take out the breaths anyway because they can become kind of distracting. So
yeah.
That was how I was used to working. And when I decided to do a podcast, I didn't realize that I shouldn't be doing that. So learning that was one of the major, you know, pitfalls. And oh my God, was I embarrassed when someone pointed that out to me. But, you know, it is what it is. You learn as you go. And right. eventually I would edit my own stuff. So I may turn down the volume on a breath, but I'll leave them in. And so editing myself, my own podcast, like if I'm just doing a speaking of one of my blogs or something like that, then I'll do it myself. If it's an interview with someone, I typically split them into two parts and I have an intro and an outro. And I also do a reading of the bio of the person. And then this is the first part of my interview with so-and-so. This is the second part of my interview with so-and-so. And then I send all those parts to an editor friend of mine who's very, very good at what he does. And he takes the two the two parts of our interview, puts them together, puts all the pieces together, sends me the almost finished edited version. And then I pick out a little snippet from the interview of what they're saying, just something to give people a gist of what they'll listen to as they go through the entire podcast. And it's usually 30 seconds or less. And I mm-hmm. tack that on the beginning. So it's like just this little snippet of my guest speaking about the gist of what they'll be talking about for the rest of the right. episode. And then that plays first, and then the intro, and then the bio, and then we get into the intro or the actual interview. So all of that is put together and sometimes I edit out a little snippet of the interview specifically for a section of my own website, which is a resources right. section that only subscribers have access to. So I ask questions in there that are specific to people and clients and companies who might be interested in figuring out how to use audio branding for themselves.
Right. And
whatever I ask, you know, to specifically get onto that point, I separate it out from the interview and I put it in the resources section. So a lot of these snippets never appear in the actual episode, first of all, and they are specifically geared towards the business end of things. So,
right.
You know, it's and some of them are in the resources section before that episode actually airs.
Right.
So I'm trying to give subscribers a little more for their email. That makes sense. Because I know people don't want to subscribe to a whole lot of things these days, and I get it. Yeah. I'm the same way. So if I can give them value for their email, then I'm happy to do that.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
But I do have an editor.
Right.
The interviews, definitely, I have an editor. And then, of course, there is getting it up on YouTube. I use Headliner for that. I don't actually do videos in mine. I do the same thing that you're doing, is I look at the person while I'm interviewing them because it makes for a better interview, but I don't usually record the video. So just the audio, and I'm recording on my end and they're recording on their end. So it sounds really good.
Right.
Audio branding podcast needs to have good audio.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm kind of picky about that, but I do have a YouTube channel. I use Headliner and I put it on the YouTube channel. I use Captivate for my podcast host company. And the reason I use Captivate is because it's a company done by Mark Asquith, who is in the UK. And he is a very well-known podcast advisor, I guess, and very into the marketing of podcasts. So he's put together a whole bunch of things in his host program that allows people to better promote themselves, to schedule things, to see really good stats, that kind of thing. And so I had started in Libsyn, went from Libsyn to Buzzsprout, and then went from Buzzsprout to Captivate. So I've kind of seen them all.
Okay. So Captivate. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I don't think I've heard of Captivate.
I would highly recommend them. Okay. And the interesting thing about them is that they don't, the pricing is probably on par with what you've seen elsewhere, but they charge in a different manner. So you can have as many podcasts as you want, and it's still one price. As opposed to, say, with Buzzsprout, if you archived something, it would still be $5 a month for them to keep it in the archive and keep uploading it.
Right,
along with the current one that you're doing. So, you know, it they're all the same. It's like a little under $20 a month, pretty much. It's usually what they end up being.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. I use, I use Simplecast right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I usually recommend because what I've used that works and works well, but Captivate looks very interesting.
I would have a look at it. See what you think.
I also started in Libsyn and then went to Simplecast, and that's where I'm at now.
Yeah. So, Libsyn is great, but I just found it very clunky a lot of stuff that you need.
It feels like the website was made in like the early 2000s or something.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't look very good.
No, it really
like
doesn't.
It works.
Yeah.
Put in your stuff and you get a finished podcast out of it, which is the point. Yeah. But like, that's really it.
Yeah.
You know, there's not really much more to it than that.
Yeah. I like Captivate's player, and you can customize their player very nicely to fit your own colors and whatever branding you have going on. You don't necessarily need to use their page. When someone has a podcast, especially if it's a business podcast, I always suggest, if they ask me, that they have a page on their own website for it, as opposed to using the host. Because then you can put it with your own branding. You can put things around it. Captivate has a really good player that you can transplant into whatever page you want to put it on. So if you look at my podcast, which is at audiobrandingpodcast.com, you'll see the page gives you a whole, the page gives you a whole listing of, things that have to do with the podcast. And then in the middle of the page, there's the player with all of the episodes. So it's really easy to view it in one place.
Okay, yeah. And I also always recommend to get a website, because mm-hmm. that's also where you can get people's email if that's something you want.
Precisely. Right?
Like if you want to actually, if you're using it with a business, then I always say send them to your website first. Mm-hmm. And then most places like Simplecast and I assume Captivate as well, and the mm-hmm. audio player you'll have on your show notes page, like they can go from there and subscribe on Spotify or iTunes or wherever else.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And in fact, there's actually in the Captivate player, there's a link to whatever page you might want someone to go to for a promo.
Right. But like then, like I always say, what do I share for the mm-hmm. podcast? I share the link to your website, like to the show notes on your website, because then that's where you can, like if you want them to see more about you, like that's mm-hmm. where it is. Where if what you just send like the iTunes link, then it's like, okay, they can subscribe to the podcast and that's great.
They only go to the one place. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. When I share mine, usually it's the blog post, because at the top of the blog post, I have the player, the Captivate player for the podcast. So it's basically, it's the blog, which are my show notes, and the player at the top of that page so that they can listen there and subscribe from the player to anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually when I say show notes, I just mean like, you know, blog post on the website. Cause that's really the main place that you see those, you know, is on the website mm-hmm. for, you know, all the reasons that we talked about.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, especially if you're a business, you want people to check out what you do as opposed to just your podcast.
So, Jody, as we begin to wind down the podcast, I wanted to ask you, for those listeners who are unsure about whether or not they want a podcast, maybe they are interested in starting one, you know, but they're on the fence. What would your one piece of actionable advice be for those people? Because I'm always about being able to actually do something from listening to an episode. So what would be a piece of actionable advice that they could take away from this episode, do you think?
That is a really good question. I would say figure out your why first. Because that's really, really important. And that is what's going to influence your whole entire podcast and promotion trajectory from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. So if you really want to get a piece of information out there, then a podcast is a perfect way to do that. And you need to figure out a way to frame that so that it's interesting to more people than just you.
Right.
but like that's subjective again. And there is something for everybody out there. So find your why, but don't expect to make money from it immediately.
Right.
I kind of liken this as to putting yourself out there as a authority in whatever you're going to talk to or to talk about, because when people listen to you, they assume that you know what you're talking about. And that may or may not be true. Like I said, I'm a fellow traveler. I don't know everything about audio branding. I'm learning as I go along. And that's part of the fun of all this for me. It can be the same for you. But people will ask you questions about what you're doing. And if you're not all in on what it is you're doing, you're going to get annoyed by those questions. So what it is you're podcasting about. Don't just do it because you feel you have to or because it might make you a couple of dollars. You know, you really should love it because you're going to get asked about it a lot. So that's why figuring out your why is pretty important.
Yeah.
It keeps pod fading from happening too, right? So.
Right.
If you get bored with your subject,
yeah, it takes a lot of work. And if you're not into it, then you're not going to mm-hmm. keep it up.
Yeah, it totally does take a lot of work.
So, Jody, thank you so much for being willing to come on the show. If people are interested in you and what you do, where can they find out more about you? You kind of already mentioned, but I just want to give you
I mentioned the podcast, but my voiceover website is at voiceoversandvocals.com. And the podcast is at audiobrandingpodcast.com.
Cool. Perfect. Awesome. Well, thank you so much again, Jody, for being willing to come on the show. It was a lot of fun and thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I had a lot of fun. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this episode and for supporting the Path to Podcast Success show. If you haven't already, please leave us a 5-star rating and a written review. letting us know what you think of the show so we can bring you the most value we can from these expert podcasters. Your support helps us reach more people looking to step up their podcast game so that they can continue to grow their brand and spread their message. So, again, thank you for listening to this episode of The Path to Podcast Success, and we'll see you in the next episode.